The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Okay, we got young guys, or we got guys that haven't had a whole lot of experience, and guys really just took up the reins and really gone to work. And I'm proud of them. They've got a lot stronger. They've got a lot better. You know, they've been really focused, and you know, they've done a great job leading as well. So I'm really proud of that. That's my goal for this year. So that comes through consistency. That comes through just helping this team continue to move the ball forward.
This is the Inferno Podcast. It's the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place every week for an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort.
Welcome into the Inferno Podcast, everybody. Scott Griffin here. We got a great show for you today for sure. Season 2, Episode 7, and we're going to talk some football with Trent Dilfer, who's on the show, and also Jalen Kitna. First of all, we'll go over the rundown here. Of course, it's brought to you by Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. Obviously, as we take a look at the rundown, we'll kind of rehash the Akron game. Not the most impressive thing, but you know what? It's a win, and the Blazers are now 2-1 on the year. And then, of course, it comes before the next thing we'll talk about, which is an SEC road game, and it's after Tennessee loses to Georgia. That won't be easy anyway, but it's a pretty daunting task out there. But what will UAB do to try to get out of that game? And then our Blazer of the Week, Jalen Kitna, as we talked about, the quarterback who was just so terrific last year, have an amazing year this year, putting up some big numbers with this offense that's pretty much scoring on anybody that they're playing against so far. So we'll talk about all that on the rundown. Remember, you can follow us on YouTube and your social media, of course, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you get it. Again, be sure you like and subscribe there and ring the bell for notifications so that you know when each episode of the Inferno Podcast comes out. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more. We'll start with Trent Dilfer and our Coach's Corner. That's next here on the Inferno Podcast.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. Get out there and tackle your financial goals with a new credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy offers multiple credit cards for whatever your financial objectives are. You can begin earning rewards today with a credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy, the official credit union of UAB.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here, and we've got Coach's Corner. Obviously, we hadn't had that in a couple of weeks, but it's brought to you by Viva and Pepsi, Viva Health, and we got Trent Dilfer here, the head coach of the football team here at UAB. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're 2-1. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I can think of worse.
I can think of worse, too.
Yeah. Been part of worse. Yeah, excited about the win. You know, we're still in process. I keep trying to reemphasize this, we're a team that needs to continue to get better every week, but yeah. I'm glad that we you know, can identify some things that are very fixable to get better at and still get a victory out of it.
So what's good about winning an ugly game?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think one, finding a way. I think good teams find a way to win when you don't play your best ball. We didn't play very good defense in the first half, played very good offense and special teams. Second half, played horrific offense and defense, you know,
pretty good.
Really got some really difficult stops too, not just stops, but difficult stops. And then offensively, I will say I was proud of the last drive. You know, we got the ball, had to eat up a lot of clock, ran it, spit it out the perimeter well. Jalen made really good decisions and then tried to end it on the deep ball on third down. Didn't. And then defense able to pin him back there, and the defense said we'll get the stop and get us the win.
Do you think it was a little bit of a Navy hangover, perhaps? And before Tennessee, was it any of that?
I don't think it was any of that. Our guys had a great week of practice. I kept complimenting them on how they just went to work. You know, there was very little talk of Navy. It was okay, let's make our corrections. We kind of got after it Monday night on the corrections, and then it was all about ball all week long. They worked their tails off. It's just a focus thing. I think in general, the hardest thing for this generation to do is stay locked in to a task for an extended period of time. There's so many distractions, and I get it, you know, but it doesn't, and I'm talking to college coaches all over the country about
this,
in all sports. Like, this is my daughter's volleyball teams that they played on. This is AK's teams. This is my basketball buddies in different parts of the country. It's football, but they all say the same thing, that the biggest challenge is getting this age group to say, okay, right now, this play, I have a job to do. Nothing before matters, nothing after matters. And then do that 80 times a game, you know, or how many times a game. And we just made so many mental mistakes on things that we have repped hundreds of times. And that we have to find a solution to that, every play is a singular moment in time, and it demands all your attention, and there's going to be physical mistakes. But we can't have the mental and emotional mistakes and expect to be consistent.
Yeah, but again, as we said, a win is a win over Akron. So 2-1, is it better to get that week in your pocket of good work, even though Saturday it may not have manifested like you wanted? You know what I'm saying? As you build, because you keep talking about long-term.
It's a great question. Yeah. And yes, I believe that cumulative growth gives you long-term success.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't look at the singular moment on Saturdays as either you're doing or you're not doing. Yes, you're trying to win, but you got to look at this, especially with 50 new players, half a new staff. Yeah. You're still, I talked to the staff yesterday about, hey, we're still learning this group. We're learning their skill set. We're learning their emotional status in games, which ones shrink, which ones rise. We're learning how they fit into our systems. Are our systems the best? You know, are we asking them to do the best things for them, or do we need to adjust our systems to accommodate their skill set? How they play together, how they react to adversity, how they handle success. I mean, these are all part of building a team. And unfortunately, in modern day football, you're kind of building it as you go because there's no preseason. Now, if I were to change anything, I wouldn't even change the portal. I wouldn't change the money. I would change that we got preseason games. If we could have preseason football games, high school gets 4 in Tennessee. The NFL gets 3. I played in 4 all those years in the NFL, and a lot can be done. Now, you don't have to play your players the whole time, but at least you can get an understanding of how they play and how they're wired and how they're going to react to certain things. And you can start making those adjustments in camp. So you can go to week 1 and be like, okay, I have a much better idea who we are. If you were to ask me who we are right now, 3 games in, I could give you a answer based on the evidence I have, but I couldn't give you a know for sure answer. I think I'll know a lot better after this week playing in Knoxville.
Right.
But you gotta understand the DNA, the makeup of your football team, and then not just your team, but each individual player, because you don't want to start building something around a player that shrinks the bigger the moment gets.
Right.
You don't want to de-emphasize a player if he's actually a riser in big moments. So, like, again, for years and years and years, you had time to build this. Either you had the player for 2, 3, 4 years, and you knew by the time he was a junior, this is what he is or what he's not. Or you had preseason games in the NFL for a free agent comes in, right? You have the offseason with him. Oh, okay, he's pretty good right guard. Well, then you get 3 preseason games that he plays, and you're like, oh, no, he's a really good right guard. Oh, no, he's not. This is why he was a free agent.
Right.
Come to the game, and he really struggles with pass rush on third down, or he really struggles on combo blocks up to a backside backer, or, you know, he flinches under pressure. And you're like, ooh, okay, found that out. Let's get the guy we drafted back in there before we play a real one. So a lot of this stuff is going on, and it's not – you still got to win the game on Saturday. You still got to somehow find a way to win the game on Saturday. But to answer your question, we were able to win while we learned, and then I really appreciate the temperament of our team. You know, I had to actually tell them in the locker room, hey, guys, let's be happy. We just won a football game, and 60 college teams didn't, you know?
Yeah.
But they understood our expectation is higher than how we played – against Akron. And I think that's a healthy state when your players know there's more out there and they own the mistakes they made. And they're going to go back to work starting tonight to get better at them.
It's very early, obviously. You talked about your own looking in the mirror at your coaching self and analyzing everything, which is what good coaches do, I think. So far, after three games, is it manifesting what you thought? So far, it's not a finished product. Yeah. Got a long year.
I hope so. I'm very conscious about it. I don't know if it's had the impact on the team that I'm hoping it has. One, emotionally, you know, I'm a very, very tight-wired, highly competitive, emotional person by nature. And I have to be very prayerful and very conscious not to be that way, because I don't want them to see me go on the emotional roller coaster. I joke with the refs before each game. I said, hey, I have not yelled at a ref this year. I want to keep that streak alive, you know? So they kind of giggle, but I'm 3-0, you know, I'm not yelling at a ref. You know, Jalen, who will be on the show, will do some things at times that I'm like, no, he's had 11 starts. That's going to happen. Yeah. I need to coach him through it, not yell and scream. I'll see a tight end make a mistake or a receiver make a mistake or a secondary player make a mistake or a lack of effort. In my old days, I would have just, you know, gone off. And I don't think this team can handle that yet. Some of them like it now in quiet times, like tonight. We'll do a 27-play clip on offense that I will run, that I will show them all the things we need to get better at, and I'll probably be a little more animated. But in the game, I feel like I need to be what I'm preaching our team needs
even
to
killed.
Be, which is even killed. And it is a challenge for me. I mean, it is a – I'm exhausted after games, not because the emotional resilience it takes for me not to lose my
that
mind.
Resistance.
Yeah, the resistance. I mean, it's a constant. Yeah. I joke with my wife. I say I don't have a tongue because I bit it off during the game, you know. But I'm growing, you know, and I knew I needed to. I wasn't the best version of me the first 2 years. And I needed to be a better version of me, and I needed to continue to grow. And at the same time, also, the guys do feed off my energy, you know. Yeah. There's times where I need to be excited and enthusiastic and emotional, but just not – the outbursts.
Yeah.
You know, I recite a verse to myself constantly: be slow to speak and quick to listen. Slow to speak, quick to listen. Slow to speak. So I'm constantly listening. I'm taking it in. I'm thinking through best ways of handling different situations. And I don't know if I'm doing it right, but I'm doing the best I know how to right now.
Trent Dilfer, our guest here on Coach's Corner. Tennessee, it's obviously a check game, right? So what do you want to get out of it? That doesn't preclude that you're losing, because I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do you want to get out of it?
I want to win the game, but I think even more importantly than win game, I want to feel like we're a better football team Saturday at 3-ish when the game's over than we were going into the game. And that starts tonight. You know, we got to get better at being us. We got to fix the things that have plagued us to this point. They're all fixable, right? They're all, and they're very simple things. These are not like guys have to grow 3 inches or run faster or our quarterback has to throw better or receivers has to catch. No, we just have to do the simple things better. I think we need to continue to grow in how we regulate our emotions in game. We're still very inconsistent emotionally. I think mentally we're inconsistent.
But are you better at that?
We're better.
You've been talking about
it all
year.
We're getting better.
Okay.
Again, much better than we've been in the past. But, you know, we can't use the last two losing seasons as the bar. That we just got to be better than that. You know, the bar has to be, we have to be the best in our conference at the things that we can control. We can't control everything.
Right.
But we can control our emotions. We can control how we think. We can control how tightly knit we are together. We can control how we prepare. We can control our effort. We can control those things. So let's be the best in the conference at those things. And if we can do that, then we got a chance to have a really good season. This game is going to create a unique set of challenges that this team has not faced. The ability to think clearly when everything in your environment is telling you and forcing you not to think clearly. That's the number one thing. People ask me, do I lean on my NFL experience for much? No, I don't. But I do in these moments. I played in stadiums when I was a young player where you can't hear yourself talk. the natural thing is your brain gets fast, it gets busy, anxiety kicks in, and all of a sudden you have a cluttered mind and you just don't go do the basic things that you've been taught to do. You have to learn how to do that. We can replicate a little bit of it during the week, but you got to go in with the mindset of nothing can faze me. I'm going to think clear regardless of my circumstance. That's going to be a massive challenge. The emotional challenge, we'll do good things against Tennessee. We'll make plays.
I think so.
We'll make plays. Do we think all of a sudden we're the greatest thing since sliced bread, or can we reset after a good play and then go play the next play? Because you're one play away from this team of giving up six or having a negative play offensively. So every play has to live in a silo, regardless of the success or not success of the play. Can we handle that? And then, you know, can we consistently compete physically? Even if the guy's a little bit better, a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, a little bit faster than you used to, we have good players. We have talented players. If they play with maximum effort and competitive temperament, we should at least be able to tie a lot of those matchups. And if you can take the matchups that Tennessee's used to winning and turn them into ties and you win your share, you got a really good chance to be in this ball game. It's what we did at times against Georgia. It's what we did for most of the game against Arkansas. I think just because we played decently against two SEC opponents does not mean we will this week, but at least there's something to grow off and say, listen, we can do this. And then you look around the country and there's been some group of five schools that have gone into hostile big time Power Four programs and competed at a high level. I think that should be an expectation that we should be able to go do that.
Yeah. And you shouldn't be overwhelmed.
No.
So
no.
Talk a little bit about, this is just my take.
And yeah.
You can react. I think you can score on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
I think we can if we handle the little things well. You know, our offense is set up to give stress points to a lot of parts of the defense. But by doing so, you have to think very well. You know, a lot of our offense is 11 people doing their job. You can't have nine. Like, if you play in a scrum, I'll give you Brian Vincent's offense, which is a great offense that people here are very familiar with, that I grew up really loving. So this is not a criticism. Love BV's offense. But a lot of BV's offense is played in a scrum. If three people backside aren't doing their job, it is not going to affect the front side of the play. You know, it's just that you could get away with mental mistakes, physical mistakes, because it was reducing football down to a targeted area of the football field, run pass. We are going to go attack this part. And if we have people away from that part and they don't do it great, not the end of the world. The people at this targeted spot, outside zone, inside zone, flood to the field, boundary, whatever. You know, they have to do their job. The other people can kind of mess up a little bit, and we're going to be okay. That's not the way this offense is built. This offense is built for 11 people to do exactly what they're taught to do on every single play, because we're trying to affect 53 and a third yards. That we want the defense to defend the entire width of the field and the verticality of the field. So if you have a receiver that jogs off the ball on a run play on an MDM, most dangerous man blocking, part of why he's supposed to sprint is to extend the corner out and to get in the face of the safety, so that when the run play pops to one of those angles, the corner is late because he's been stretched horizontally and the safety's late vertically because the receiver's gotten up on him.
Right.
When that doesn't happen, now the field is condensed and we're not getting out of the play what we wanted to get out of the play, so you minimize the potential of the play. If you have a receiver supposed to take off the middle safety, right, and run as hard as he can and try to eat up two defenders, the Mike linebacker and the front side safety, because Jalen's going to work a two-man combination out to the field with something underneath it or something coming underneath to it. If that guy does not play perfectly, then the defense now can trick the quarterback and adjust how they relate to a route pattern, and all of a sudden the quarterback's eyes get dirty because one guy didn't do their job. If we're in pass protection, we have a nudge or a chip on, and the tackle's setting as if he's going to get help from an outside player, a tight end, and the running back, and he doesn't help him. Well, now your tackle just was like, well, dude, I was trusting you to set a sideboard for me, and you didn't, and now I look like an idiot. You know, so I can go on and on and on, bore everybody to death, but like, this offense is very NFL-ish in the sense that we need 11 people doing their jobs all the time. So when we have mental, now physical breakdowns, you can live with, right? If they're, as long as they're fast and they're instinctive and they're going, we can make up for a lot of physical mistakes. But the mental mistakes and then the emotional baggage they carry from play in to play out. Like, I'm not going to use his name, I don't want to embarrass him, but a receiver runs a pretty good route on the first third down, doesn't get the ball, gets frustrated because the defender played it pretty well. Well, then we run a similar type concept, and he guesses on what he's going to get because emotionally he was frustrated. Well, it costs us a conversion. Well, later in the game, similar concept, and he makes up something that we've never done in practice. Ever since we've been here. And this is our most repped pattern. Well, what happened? He was emotionally ticked off because the first time it didn't work. Then the second time he got frustrated and didn't finish his route. So what am I gonna do? The third time I'm really frustrated. So I'm gonna go make up my own thing. That doesn't work. No. Like no. That will not work. It'll never work. At any level of football, that won't work. So we have to fix those types of things before we expect to be consistently good offensively and score points in Knoxville. Now, if we do our jobs and we do what they're supposed to do, we create a lot of stress to the defense. And our quarterback's very good, and our runners are very good, and our receivers are very good in space. And when we get them the ball on time within the structure of the offense, good things tend to happen. And they need to trust that if they do that, then you net that out over – probably won't get a 90-play game against Tennessee, but let's call it a 65-70-play game. You get 65-70 plays, you're naturally going to fall into 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 explosive plays. Explosive plays equals points.
So my mic's not on, by the way. I don't hear myself, but we're about to wrap up. Yeah. It is?
My ear,
I can hear
I'm
him.
I'm low, too. I can barely hear you in this.
Right.
This is low.
It's not. Oh, maybe because it's facing that way. This thing's kind of
there you go
around.
Now I do feel you, hear you better.
All right, there we go. Sorry, you have to make an edit there. Sorry. All right, kind of what you're talking about. I think it's intriguing because I was thinking about this morning, and this doesn't come across like I want it to, but this, for lack of a better way to put it,
I don't have
it,
any feelings yet left. Yes. So you're not going to hurt something I don't have.
You've got kind of the team of, it's like the you know, the land of the misfit toys.
Yeah.
You've got a four-star quarterback that made a mistake. Now he's with you. Incredible talent, 6'5", great arm, makes all the throws, all the things you want. Then you've got BB, a running back from Montgomery that walked on. You got a lineman that walked on. You got another kid that had two offers. So you got this mixture. Then I started thinking, well, that was Dilfer. He was a high draft pick, well regarded. But then in the middle of your career, you became the guy with a chip on your shoulder and had to play your way. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you loud and clear.
Do you see that?
We've talked about it. You know, we've talked. Most of the kids haven't seen it, but those of you that are old enough, the movie Major League.
Yeah.
People forget that team won. You know what I mean? Like that movie, which is one of the great movies of all time, was a band of guys that had been cast off. You know, they had been forgotten. They'd been devalued. But yet they came together with everything against them. Nobody really working on their behalf except them. And they rallied together around that. And they got the most out of each person in that organization. And then really they won because they're like, it's us against the world.
Right.
We're trying. I would not say we're there yet, but we're trying to build that. I think our players, when we went through this vision exercise where the players really set what our vision and mission was going to be for this team, we did a couple nights during training camp. There was a common thread of us against the world. Chippiness. Prove them wrong. You know, because I think each one, what they were saying when they were doing that, whatever you call it, thing where you anonymously put something on your phone, it shows up on the screen, there's an app for it, that's what we use, does these word clouds. What I was reading through the line is, I wasn't as highly recruited as I should have been, or I didn't get the playing time I deserved at my last school, or I was devalued in the portal, or I wasn't thought well enough, I wasn't thought by others the way I think I should be thought of. And then this has been a place that values me. I will say our players in general would say they feel very valued here. We like our players. We like their people. We like them as players. We look at them as unfinished pieces of work, and
right.
We really want to build into them and develop them emotionally, physically, and mentally. And they feel that. I've had a lot of players in my office say, man, this is the best I've ever been. I may not be as good as I can be yet, but this is the best I've ever been because I get taught, I get corrected, I get nurtured, I get told why I've made a mistake or why this has been a problem, and then I get a tool to fix it. So I do think if you haven't seen the movie, you should watch it. It's a great movie, Charlie Sheen. And
of course.
And you'll laugh.
Barringer, but
There is an overarching theme to that movie that I think is relevant for us. Now, the challenge is that's just words. That's just an idea. This group has to do a better job every day going to work and having their actions and how they prepare and how they play show that chippiness. Show that us against the world. Show that brotherhood instead of it just being talk. And we're getting there. We've made big strides, but I'm just steadfast. I told the staff yesterday, I said, my word of the week is steadfast. I'm going to be steadfast on finding every inch in this program to make us better. Every inch. I mean, it's recruiting, it's operations, it's strength and conditioning, it's the training room, it's the offense, it's the defense, it's the special teams, it's how we practice, it's how we lift, it's how we do everything. And if we all have that attention to finding the inches and winning the inches, you start, that becomes a mile rather quickly. And the next thing you know, you look back and you're like, oh, that's a pretty good football team. Why? Because we started winning all those little inches.
Good luck against Tennessee.
We're going to need it. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate you hanging out. That is Coach's Corner with Trent Dilfer. We'll come back. Jalen Kitnire, quarterback, will be here on the Inferno podcast. Hang on.
If in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends. If you can keep an eye on your money along the way. If you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings. When you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here. Our quarterback, Jalen Kitna, joining us now. Jalen, what's happening? How are you?
Hey, man, I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing good. I guess you are great because you're doing well this year. I thought you did well last year. But let's talk about this year first. Saturday, terrific, 341 yards, 30 of 45 for the year, over 800 yards, 6 touchdowns. How do you feel like you're playing right now?
I feel like it's going well. I think that, man, you know, my goal this year is just obviously be as consistent as I can be. We got great weapons and, you know, great tools on this offense. And so, you know, my job is to consistently put them in a good position to, you know, go make plays, go score. I feel like, you know, left a lot on the table. And so, you know, going into this week, going through the rest of the season, man, I want to continually be more consistent. Good enough's never good enough. If we want to be where we think we could be, you know, reach our potential, it's it's going to be a grind. And I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, definitely just looking to be more consistent moving forward.
Yeah, you're never pleased, but I think. You're never ultimately pleased, I should say. Mm. You are pleased sometimes with your play offensively. But what do you think you've done well this year as an offense, not just you? And then what are you just still working on? And man, we got to improve that part of it.
I think this year we've realized how much all the little things matter. One out of 11 – you know, messing up can do to us. Yeah. And, especially just seeing what our potential can be. The first game and a lot of the game through Navy, even the first half of this past game as well, we were really efficient and we were able to score a lot of points in those circumstances. And I think that, you know, guys really saw that. They really liked that. And I think now that's kind of set the standard for us moving forward. And so I think, you know, we know what we have to do, and we know how, you know, just one mistake could end drives and change games and things like that. I think it's just, again, it's all the little things. And they stack up a lot. And so I think for us moving forward, it's just how can we, you know, how can we go 100%, you know? So, in terms of other things that I think we got to do well, our O-line has been, it's been great, you know, moving the ball. They've done an awesome job there. And so I think, you know, as much as we could stay balanced, because, you know, we have great receivers and great playmakers outside, but we have great backs as well. And so just being able to be multiple in what we could do is going to be really beneficial for us. Because there's going to be times where we can't get this going or we can't get that going, and being able to rely on different parts of the game is going to be huge for us moving forward.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got more than Milliner out there. You've got more than a Jacobs or BB. You got some skill guys around you.
Yeah,
you
know? For sure.
Yeah, that are really good. So spreading the love is a good thing. Offensive line was a question mark coming in. To your point, I think they've played really well so far.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're seeing on video when you look at it? Or?
Yeah. No, they've done a great job, and their mentality going into it, and their commitment to just improving every single day has been awesome. You know, you looked at it going into the season, it's like, okay, we got young guys, or we got guys that haven't had a whole lot of experience, or what, you know, whatever it might be, and guys really just took up the reins and really gone to work, and I'm proud of them. They've got a lot stronger, they've got a lot better, you know, they've been really focused, and they've done a great job leading as well, so I'm really proud of that.
So last year, if I remember, eight starts. All right, so eight starts, 17 touchdowns. I think you averaged about 275 or so. Had to help you for this year. The way it worked out, it wasn't great for the team. But now you get all that playing time, and now you're the guy. So kind of talk about thrown into the fire and then how it's helping manifest this year.
Yeah, I think last year was helpful because we got to see the ceiling. We also got to see the floor. And, it's always, being about how can we raise that floor and how can we, get to that ceiling. I think going into the season, we've realized, like, the ceiling comes when it comes. You know, if we just raise the floor, like, you're naturally going to hit that ceiling and you're going to, play well. But, all the mundane plays, and so, that we got to continue to do that. And I think for me, that's my goal for this year. So that comes through consistency, that comes through just helping this team continue to move the ball forward and, not do things that are detrimental. So, that's my focus.
Jalen Kitten, our guest here, our Blazer of the Week, of course, quarterback for the Blazers. It just dawned on me, your dad was a good player in the NFL, obviously. Your coach was a good player in the NFL. They knew each other, right? They played the same time, similar times, all that kind of stuff. Did that help you, and does it help you? Because I'm not saying Trent Dilfer is like your dad, but you've heard things, I'm sure, that both are saying to you that help resonate in your brain. And I'm just going on theory here. It may not be the case, but I'm going to guess it is.
Yeah. I think having both of them around is huge for me. Getting to learn from both of them is obviously great. And I think, a lot of people look at it from an X's and O's perspective, but I think, I continue to say this, the most important thing that they continue to teach me is just the mentality and the mental aspect of the game.
Is what?
I think there's, a lot of coach was talking about just the mental fortitude of, us playing in these games, how we approach things, our focus, all those different things. So there's a lot of things that go into that. Also just, from more of a football perspective, preparation, kind of your routine going into each week, the film you watch, how you dissect, teams, and just kind of chunking information. I think all those things are important things to learn how to do, you know, because it's important going into a game to have a, you know, to have a clear mind and to have confidence in what you're doing and things like that. And so, you know, for them, they understand that. They understand the mind of a quarterback, and so they understand how to simplify certain things, how to make certain things make more sense and, you know, be a little easier. And so, you know, having that and having them working, you know, side by side with me, you know, being able to, you know, just put me in the best position to be successful, I think is huge. And then just, you know, how to handle adversity, how to handle different things. You know, it all comes with it. And, you know, they're amazing at that. Trent's been through a lot of ups and downs. And
sure.
He's been able to, you know, give me a lot of insight through that.
So is your dad.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's had years where he's thrown over 4,000. He's had years as a backup, mm-hmm. right? So they both have kind of what I was talking about, the highs and lows and everything in between,
right.
I guess. It's got to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You got married. How does that help you? Now you go home, you got a partner. You know, there's structure in life. You've got to compartmentalize things. Don't bring the job home, all that kind of stuff. Has that helped you?
Oh, absolutely. My wife is amazing. She's helped me so much in just, you know, in just, again, I think preparation as well. Like, you know, she's constantly asking, you know, the questions and stuff that I don't think of a lot of times. And
in your prep, like football stuff?
I mean, just in the day-to-day life and,
okay.
you know, just being, you know, what do I have going on? And just, yeah, she's so helpful in, you know, just my day-to-day life, making sure I'm, you know, I'm doing the right things and, you know, being in the right position to, be successful. And, you know, she's amazing, just in, you know, helping me, you know, doing what she can to help me, you know, be my best. And, you know, that's really, it's something special to, you know, to have that and have someone that truly cares for you in that way.
And also a set of ears when you get home and you want to talk about something, or maybe you don't want to talk about something.
Right.
Somebody that understands that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of times just come home and I get to, you know, get to just be me away from football. And, that's awesome too.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, I mean, it's more than I'm super blessed. You know, more than I deserve. She's amazing.
At any point did you go, man, I'm a little young to be doing this, but it feels so right. You know what I mean? Is that kind of the thought process?
There wasn't a doubt in my mind. You know, with her, I think for me, just, you know, it's one of those things. It's just like, yeah, you just know. And
why wait?
Yeah.
You don't have to be 25, right? Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you're just waiting to wait, or, you know, just waiting for, you know, a better time, or, you know, waiting till you have more money, or, you know, more stability, whatever it is, like, you know, if we're able to do this when things are changing, when things are, you know, up and down, like, you know, we can make it through anything.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Good stuff. Jalen Kidner, our guest here. Before we go to lightning round, Tennessee. Now, you played at Florida, so you're not going to be overwhelmed with this. So, and you guys have played SEC teams, as Trent talked about in the previous segment. Mm-hmm. So, do you have to worry about that? You do have 50 new players, so not everybody's probably been in the environment that you'll be in on Saturday. How do you guys try to handle that? Do you try to, you know, help them with that experience that's right. coming? But that may not happen, because the only way to experience it is to be there, correct?
Yeah. I think especially going into situations like this, like I think the best thing you could do is just focus on what we have going on and just trying to perfect what we're doing. You know, cause when you're in environments that are tough, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things just trying to pull you away from what you're doing. And I think if you are, you know, you're solidified, and if we're solidified in what we have going on, I think we'll be just fine. You know, maybe loud, we may have to, you know, change snap counts, or, you know, adjust in this way or that way. It's certain things they do, but, again, that's all in a week of preparation. And, you know, we just got to approach it with a, you know, with the right kind of mentality. So I think they'll be fine. And I think, again, there's going to be ups and downs and new challenges that this environment brings. And I think Coach said it earlier, just, you know, we're gonna continue to find out the makeup of our team through that. And that's okay.
Yeah, you know? But they're going to look to you now because yep. you've been there. So in the huddle, I can imagine some adversity hits and you're the quarterback anyway, and they're going to be going, okay,
yep.
are you ready for that? I guess because you have been there before.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm just trying to continue to instill confidence in these guys. Again, like I said, we have a lot of talented guys and a lot of guys that are really great at what they do. And so it's my job to make them believe in that and believe that the next play is going to be great. And so, you know, when bad things happen, you know, we can't flinch. We're going to get into the huddle and we're playing next play just like any other play. So,
is it weird when you hear, because we were talking before we broadcast, before last week you were 31st in offense in the country. Really good, right? Top 20% or so. Now you're 40th, still right there. You personally, top 20 in quarterback play. That's unbelievable, right? I mean, I know you can't focus on that. You don't want to wallow in praise, but just how do you view that with your backstory and where you are and so new into your career here?
Yeah, you know, I think that, I think that, again, you're saying, you know, it's hard to just think about that because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to wallow in that. I think there's,
right,
just from our perspective, you know, back at the facility, like, we're going to go in there and I'm going to be watching the film like this.
Because you have some bad stuff.
Yeah, because there's just things, and it's like, people don't always see that. But there's so many things that it's like, man, we could do that better. Like, our ceiling was so much higher. I mean, we put up 31 in the first half, and you know, there was just a bunch of little things that prevented us from putting up more points in the second half of this past game, and you know, little things that prevented us from finishing versus Navy, and you know, there's just, again, there's so many little things, and I think that, you know, for me, like, that's what I want. I don't want to be, you know, just good enough, whatever it is. Like, I want to reach our potential. That's our goal, and that's my goal. So that's my focus. You know, I don't want to look into that stuff too much. As soon as you start looking in the rearview mirror, it's when you crash. So
reading the press clippings could be dangerous.
Yep.
But if you lack confidence, which you don't, you know, it could be a good thing. And I think a little bit of that for your teammates to know, hey, we are top 30, top 40. You know, my quarterback is top 20. We're pretty good here. And it's like I asked Trent, and you probably feel the same way. I think you guys can really score on anybody. That doesn't mean you're going to win the game. Doesn't mean you're going to score a certain amount of points. But I think you have the potential to score on anybody. Is that your feeling?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Again, like I said, we have great pieces everywhere. You talked about, you know, the question mark going into it was the line. They've been playing amazing.
Yeah.
Our line's been playing amazing. We've got great backs. We've got great receivers. And I'm just ready to put it all together. Like, I think we could go out and do amazing things. And we're going to do that week in and week out.
All right. We got the lightning round now. This is more fun.
All right.
Not as serious. Jalen Kitlin, of course, the quarterback for UAB here. And let's just have a little fun. So you kind of were talking about you're married now. You go home to somebody. Very different for college guys. Mm. So when you said, okay, I want to get away from football. Today, I've had enough of practice. You know, it's Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it is. So, honey, you and I are what happens at the house when that happens? Is it a movie? Is it going out to eat, or is it?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're big show watchers. Yeah, we're always, I mean, not
Netflix, you know, you find in the series? And
yeah, usually, I mean, we just got married, and so we're like, oh, we got to watch all these different things. I'm sure it'll be a little tougher when we get all of them down, but yeah, watching shows. You know, we got a good spot that we really like going to when we go out to eat. So yeah, that's usually the thing. Every once in a while, we might play some video games or something together. So
a girl playing video games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I see why you married her. Is that right? I mean, that's kind of
right,
rare.
Another
I mean,
plus.
Yeah.
Another plus.
Yeah. Yeah. She cooks, and she's good looking, and she loves video games. There you go. So yep. What is your favorite food?
Oh, my favorite food. Well, the place we love going to is a Asian spot, Japanese spot. I love some hibachi. It's great.
Okay.
I really enjoy cooking, so I mainly cook like Asian or Hispanic dishes.
Really?
Yeah.
But does that come from any family heritage or not really?
No.
You just like it.
Yeah, I just enjoy it. I mean, we have certain people in my family that like to cook, and when I got here, I actually started cooking. That's when I started cooking, and just watching videos and stuff on YouTube, and yeah, I don't know. I like experimenting and, you know, doing my own things. I don't like using measuring cups, so.
Is that like relaxing for you?
Yeah, for sure. It's cool now. I have someone who could try all my meals at home, so
yeah,
I get a real beat on it.
And we've got limited time on the lightning round, but tell me quickly, what is the great thing about being a quarterback, and then what's the most overrated thing that we might think is great, and you're like, no, it's not that great.
The greatest thing about being a quarterback is, I think, seeing all the little growth in your teammates and stuff throughout the, like, it's really cool seeing you know, some of these guys and just the way they've gotten better, the way they've developed, you know, whether it's, I mean, physically, like in the weight room, you know, seeing guys get stronger or faster, whatever it might be. Sometimes it's, you know, guys just handling different situations better, you know, or adjusting or making a block that is really tough. Like that's just really cool to see to me. I love that. Some that would be overrated for me. See, I would say,
or less glamorous than we might think, you know, however you want to put it.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And if you don't have an answer, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, shoot, I would say, I don't know. I don't know. I think there's good things about all the things that people think that are
right.
Nice, and there's some things that aren't great about it and whatnot, but.
Maybe you get too much credit, or
and then
you take too much blame, and you know that whole idea.
Yeah, I think being the center of attention. I mean, that's not always my favorite thing. I think it's nice sometimes, and you know, getting the credit for certain things. But there's a lot of things that go into winning a football game. There's a lot of things that go into each and every play. Like we say, it's 11 people playing, and there's so many ups and downs. And so I think that there's a lot more that goes into it.
All right, final question, because you got to go. Music, what are you grooving to right now?
Oh, I really enjoy R&B. Grew up on 90s R&B.
Okay.
You know, so that's always, like, if I'm just turning on a playlist, I'll play some R&B. I think, before games and stuff, I actually really just listened to one song. It was just a worship song that I really enjoy. It's a little bit older song, but... that's kind of it for me. I don't know why that song is so prevalent for me, but
yeah.
It just does it. So, that's the one I enjoy, but,
try to
stick to R&B. Yeah.
Old soul.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Old R&B. I like new R&B too. I mean, obviously new R&B is coming out with new music each week. So that's nice. But yeah, that's what I'm listening to mostly.
All right, Jalen, thanks for hanging out with us.
Awesome. Keep it up. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Jalen Kitna, quarterback for the UAB Blazers. We'll take a break, come back with more here on the Inferno Podcast.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. Get out there and tackle your financial goals with a new credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy offers multiple credit cards for whatever your financial objectives are. You can begin earning rewards today with a credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy, the official credit union of UAB.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. This week in Blazer Nation, of course, brought to you by Children's of Alabama. A lot of action going on in all the fall sports, as you would imagine. On the 18th, the women's soccer team at Memphis, taking on Memphis at 7 o'clock on that day. 18th through the 20th, we got a big volleyball showdown that we discussed a couple of weeks ago here on the podcast. Alabama Showdown, hosted by Samford. They take on Auburn at 3:30, then South Alabama at 3:30 on the 19th, and of course the 20th, they take on Samford at 6:30 as well. Football team in Neyland Stadium against Tennessee. It's 11:45 kick on Saturday, obviously. The women's cross country at the Firehawk Invitational as well on Saturday. Sunday, the men's soccer team hosting Memphis at 7 o'clock. And then September 22nd and 23rd, the UAB men's golf team. Also, those same 2 days, 22nd, 23rd, UAB women's golf at the Johnny Imes Invitational. So there's your busy, busy schedule with some of the Blazer teams at this week in Blazer Nation. We appreciate Trent Dilfer and Jalen Kitna dropping by, hanging out with us here on this edition of the Inferno Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you until next time. So long at the Inferno Podcast.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.